Join me in prayer for a moment. Father God, you're in charge of all circumstances. We make plans, and then you decide the steps. The steps that if we walk in trust, you can, if we submit to you, Father, you could grow us in our understanding of your mercy, your love, your promises. Father, guide, not only guide, put in my mind the thoughts that you want me to share as we read from your word. Father, we do want to praise you with our full hearts. We want to bring you glory. We also want to be victorious, very victorious in the life you desire for each and every one of us. That having been said, Father, we ask you in Jesus Christ's name, amen. There are some new faces here this morning. I'm pleased to see you. I'm sorry you're coming here to see me this morning, but I'm here to see you. Let me quickly tell you something. Before, when church started this morning, Ken said, we found out about this at 10 o'clock last night. Well, I went to bed early. I got up about 7:15, read that, and I said, oh, no. What are we going to do? Well, prayer usually starts with an illustration. Let me start with an illustration. I haven't done this in a while. I'm not an ordained minister. I don't have that much experience. But this morning I said, Lord, you're going to have to put something on my heart so I can do this. And really, honestly, I started by saying, what do you want from me to learn in this circumstance? And I hope and pray you can benefit from that learning too. That's between you and him. But I know this. I know that I'm going to learn a lot. You know, Pear shares an illustration. I'm going to share one that happened this morning. So I hear about this about 7:15. Oh, by the way, I should back up for a second. I saw Jake here ready to play for us, guide us and sing song and praise. I said, you got a word of wisdom for me? Something like that, right, Jake? He said, well, I said, before you say anything, whatever you share with me is good for you too. I was hoping that would help. He said, I found that if I'm nervous, the more simple I keep it, the better it is. And I was thinking, well, does that mean I make it too complicated? In any case, I have some bad news for you. What God opened my heart to is from his own lips. So if there's any complication, blame him. Now, I said to the folks, I said to my brothers in Christ who got taken charge here and preparing us for the 4 months sabbatical Pear's going to have, I said, Lord, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to share? And then I said, you know what? I found something. I'm going to have to trust you. And I'm going to not prepare anymore. So my wife wasn't feeling well. She hasn't slept well. Her back is killing. She's got a headache. And so I made coffee. I made a breakfast, took a shower, ironed, and here I am. I made a breakfast. Here's the illustration. And for you, I want you to ask yourselves, why is this an illustration for today's sermon? Why? I'll let you think about that. Here it is. Linda, what do you want? I'll have some bacon and some hard-boiled eggs. Soft-boiled eggs, not hard-boiled. Soft-boiled eggs. Okay, so I put the bacon in the oven at 450 degrees, hoping it would cook quickly so I could get going. And she has instructed me that proper soft-boiled eggs are in there for 4 minutes in boiling water. So in order to get this right, I put the timer on the microwave for 4 minutes once I laid the eggs into the boiling water. You with me so far? I went upstairs, did my business. I hear Linda, Paul, you forgot to put the timer on. I don't know how long the eggs have been in there. Folks, how can you trust me to share a sermon when I can't even put a timer on? Truly, I'm imperfect. And then I heard, and you didn't tell me you put it at 450 because the bacon's burning. So, you know, think about this for a moment. Here I am, nervous to come here this morning and do this. And I'm thinking, how can I do this? How can I do this? How can you do this, be here today and be ready to hear from God and to apply it to your lives? We can because we trust Him. We trust Him with things that are really, really difficult. His timing, His purpose, His provision. So, with that being said, be thinking, what does that have to do with today's sermon? Why that illustration? I'll give you a heads up. What do you think that did to my confidence coming here this morning with this big task? I can't do this little thing. I am handicapped. I get distracted. How can I do this big thing? And how does it not impact you? Could what happened to me impact you this morning? Absolutely. If I can't have a trust in God to do this the way He intends, I'm speechless. I'm powerless. I'm nothing. I'm the man who forgets to put the timer on, who cooks the bacon too fast. How do you handle God's word? How do you not only handle God's word, but not negatively impact people with your lack of confidence, with your struggle, with your insecurity and your uncertainty? I don't know the answers to that question, but keep that in mind. So today's sermon is taken, I can't fail, because at the very least, we're going to be reading Christ's prayer for us. I could fail in other things related to it, but I pray that I won't. So I'm taking you to, since it's not up here, you may want to go to John chapter 17. I'll give you a minute to get there. And it's in chapter 17. I'm going to start at verse, it should be all in red in your Bibles if you have one of those, verse 20. If it's in red, what does it mean? These are the very things from Christ's mind, His heart, at a very critical time in His life, almost at the end of it. So ask yourselves, what was He thinking about when He prayed this? Where was His mind and His heart? What was He burdened with? And why? Let's see what He has to say. Now, I didn't know where to start because He prayed for those who were alive at the time, and there's a lot to be gained from that. Holy smokes. You can look at that for yourselves if you want to in this same chapter before this. But consider this. Who is Christ praying to? Think about it. Who is He praying to? His Father. So He has to believe His Father is listening and has a concern about this. He's praying to His Father. And here's what He says. Neither pray I for these only, the ones He prayed for before, that were alive at the time, who were going to experience His death and all the, and remember the things that happened before it. But them, and here you are, also who shall believe in Me through their word. Whose word? Those whom He had prayed for, who witnessed His life and were going to be talking about it, living it out as best they could. That was going to in itself be a witness to those who are to come, of the family of Christ, of God. And what's His prayer? You know what? We've heard this many times. And if you're anything like me, the simple things sound simple, and we think that things that are said very briefly are simple, but boy, they are not. Consider this for a moment. This is for you and for me and all those who belong to Him. What's His prayer? that they all may be one. If you're knowing Jesus Christ today as your Savior, this is about you as well as for me. That all of you and me can be one. How much? As you, Father, and me are one. Think about that for a minute. How one were they? Something we'll never understand until we're in his presence. So much so, such a great love he had for and a trust for his son that he sent him to the earth to live and to die for us so that we could have presence with his father. That's how much he loved his father. We need to be one as best we can in our humanity as he and his father are one. So think about this for a moment. How? I want you to think about this and share your answer out loud, but I want you to wrestle with it as I'm wrestling with it. Who are we one with? I just said to you that he prayed for all those who would come to him. May they be one as you and I are one. One. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you might be thinking, yeah. How about husband and wife? One. Friends, one. Brothers in Christ, one. Church families as one. What we're talking about is intimacy, honesty, not perfection, although they were perfect. We bring our humanity into all of this. He wants us to be one with one another as well as with him. Hey, you know who was listening to that prayer? Take a guess. Who heard that prayer that you would rather he hadn't? You're laughing. Who? Satan, right? He heard it. He was there. Christ said this out loud. All the angels heard it. May they be one as you and I are one. Well, guess what happened? By the way, if being one with the Father and one with another becomes a witness to the world about the reality of Jesus Christ, what better way to bring a challenge to the world and God's plan, although it can't be broken, to break that unity, that oneness? Cause conflict in relationships. Allow, bring things about that really give us tension and struggle so we're not our best. To serve God and to love him and one another. Come to church when you're ready to preach something you're not really sure about and realize you're nothing, man. You can't even push the right button on the microwave. Hey, if you had 2 hours, I'd tell you how many other mistakes I made this week, or ask my wife about it, or ask my friends about them. Okay. So here's what we can be confident about. Christ prayed because it was important. He knows all things. And he knew that that would bring attention to the thing that witnesses one of the most perfect ways about the reality of Jesus Christ, his salvation, his love. And that's break that unity in relationships, in friendships, in church family, in ourselves with our God. Hey, how are we one with our Father? Through Jesus Christ, absolutely. How do we nurture that oneness relationship in our daily lives? How? Ask yourselves, how am I doing that? How am I being one in Christ on today, at this service, tomorrow, like next week, in this relationship? You know, those are things you need to answer. I know what I'm thinking. How important is this? And why is it important? Because it's that important. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The reality of seeking for, praying for, working for unity is a testimony to the whole world about the reality of Jesus Christ. Why? To be one with someone, it's a miracle. I once told my wife, or I reminded her, I'm not sure, you know, God brought us together for these reasons. I need you, you need me. Brought me into this church. You need me, I need you. For what? For a better life? Not necessarily. A better way of handling life when these challenges that come to all of us present themselves. We face challenges every day. Our health, our finances, our encouragement, our sin consequences, all these things, every day, every moment, affect us. And if they affect us, a lot of the times what they do is cause us to turn away from God as opposed to face Him because we're embarrassed or don't want to be honest about it. And guess what else we do? We turn away from those closest to us. At least I do. I'm not bragging, I'm confessing. A question you have to think about and answer for yourself this morning, if this has any relevance to your life, is how do your being one with someone else bring glory to God or to become a hindrance for that to occur? You may not want to think about that now. Hopefully you'll think about it later. If you're anything like me, you might forget even what this service was about in about 2 hours. But that's an important question. You see, God's opening our eyes through His scripture that think a lot more personally and broadly about what this prayer is about. Listen to the heart of Christ, Jesus Christ Himself, facing death, saying this to us today, or last year, or next year. Having it documented so we have no excuse. Now, here's the part that's really scary. Does God lie? Come on. No. In unison? No. Will He ever lie?
No.
Do you mean it? Okay, then listen. If unity is a testimony to the reality of Jesus Christ, our disunity is a testimony to something else. It could be a number of things. Our lack of faith, our lack of understanding, our lack of belief, our things that make it even more difficult for the rest of God's people. Now, here's the hard part. I told you it was going to be hard. I never thought about this before. Just now. When I am screwing up, disobeying, being selfish, being distanced from the Lord, for whatever reason, I hope you can relate to it. That's an easy thing sometimes. Who does that impact? Those closest to us. I speak from experience. You don't want to be around me when I'm in a bad mood. Even you, Jason, nice to see you. And your fiancée, I believe. Those closest to us. I don't like to think about that. You know, because in the past I've said, what am I going to say tomorrow? In the past I said, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. We had confession before we started praising Him this morning. Think about this. My sin nature, my sinfulness impacts all of you. For that, I ask your forgiveness. I'm in a bad mood, it can affect you. It can affect those whom I love. I'm feeling selfish, distraught, distracted, whatever. It impacts those closest to me, and it affects their lives. And the thing that really resonates for me today is that the greatest thing it affects, the deepest, most relevant, important thing it affects, is possibly someone else's relationship in view of Jesus Christ. How many people do you know in this world who are struggling with their faith, or have abandoned, seemingly so, their faith, or don't even want to believe because of the things that have happened to them in their lives? You know, God knows us. He knows what we've been through. And if you have a real and growing relationship with Christ, He has made that possible. It's a miracle I've been saved. It's a miracle. And by the way, I don't know if you agree with this, but the older you are when you come to the Lord, I'm going to block your ears. You don't have to. The more He has to forgive. Is that fair? Well, maybe not. I don't know. I tell you, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, wow. And if He forgave me more, oh, by the way, who was He thinking about when He prayed this to His Father? Me. He loved me knowing all these things I was going to do that were probably faithless, certainly not glorifying to God in my life. He loved me enough then, not based on what I was going to do, but on His love for me to pray for His Father, for me, and every one of you. You know, follow me for a week, and you will revoke your vote for me as an elder. But allow me to follow you. Now, what do I have confidence in our humanity, our shared humanity. God gives us the ability, the desire, the willingness to deal with the things that disunify us, that cause us to fail to testify to the greatness and the love of Jesus Christ. He entrusted your time this morning with me? Yeah. You know, a thought I have is when I was at work before I retired, I was a social worker, and I went to a lot of trainings, and I found out through the grapevine that everybody thought I was stuck up. Well, not everybody, but not everybody. How could it be everybody, right? Some of them don't even notice. And I said, what? Well, what do you mean? I think that much of myself? If you only knew. And they said, well, we talk to you, you never answer us. I said, let me tell you something. I'm deaf in my right ear. They made a judgment about that. I didn't let them know. Now, what value does it have to talk about that? In the respect and honor of God's word, here's how. You're going to have to forgive me today because I'm in a bad mood. You're going to have to not personalize the fact that I can't deal with too many things today. Not very well. It's not about you, it's about me. Don't let my, whatever you want to call it, become that hindrance that impacts your relationship with our Savior. As a matter of fact, please pray for me. What difference would that make in our world? You know, if we only had additional understanding about what causes us to behave the way we do, What a difference that would make, because we are one. I am impacted by your marriage, your family, without even thinking about it. Instinctively, God says we're one. When you suffer, I suffer. My family suffers. We all suffer. That's how connected we are. And when you rejoice, and I see it, I live it, or I hear it, guess what it does to my faith? Whoa! It increases it more than I could even pray for. When Christ becomes real in the challenges we face, with those whom we're connected, we are much more apt to get on our knees and say, thank you. Continue to do that. Help me, Lord. Help them. Help us. Why? Because you called us to it. Now let's continue with Jesus Christ's words. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, whom have even been born yet, let alone saved, that they may be one as we are one. It takes glory of God in order to be one. You know what glory of God is? I'm thinking about it right now as Yahoo! When God makes himself real, it's a burden lifted. And when you see a burden lifted in my life, I hope and pray it lifts your faith. Because, Jake, when I come in here and I see you singing and you smile, whoop, it shocks me. It really lifts me up. To tell you the truth, sometimes I'm sitting behind you guys and I see you put your arm around your wife. I have seen that. Sorry, this is perfect. It does something for me. It's a reminder. We are one, and the devil doesn't want us to be. Think about who he is and the love he has, the power he brings. He can bring that into our relationships, our communication, our interaction, despite who we are and what we suffer from. Father, I will that they also, all of you and me, whom thou hast given me, we certainly were, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And how long has he loved us? Before the foundation of the world. That, my friends, my brothers and sisters, is a long time ago. How much love does he have? Where does he want us to be? By the way, when he prayed this, where was he? He was in the garden facing suffering. We can't imagine. I'm getting along there and I'm thinking, how am I going to go? Going is a certainty. I hope it's not. Where was he going? Suffering. Immeasurably. Not just physically and emotionally, but spiritually. He was going to have to be apart from his Father. So all that condemnation could come onto him for each and every one of us. That's what he had to suffer the most. Where does he want us to be? Where was he when he was praying this? He was facing very, very, very difficult and hard times. Impossible times without the glory of Christ. Where are we today as he's praying that for us then? Where are we in our spiritual walk, our level of faith, our degree of obedience, our measure of love? Where does he want us? He wants us to be victorious in this life. And it's not just about him here with me now in heaven. I'll tell you what, we make it there, it's going to be awfully easy. It's easy then. We're with him. It's hard now. Are we with him? Scripture clearly tells us, guarantees you, persuades you, if I'm his and you are his, he indwells us through his Spirit. How close is he? He's right there. What should that bring for a degree of success, obedience, hope, faith, and love if we truly believe that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's not wait to get to heaven to grow that love, that obedience, and that faith. Let's do it today, tomorrow. How well are we at sharing our burdens with one another? Come on. How able are we to say, you have no idea the struggle I had this week or what is hard for me in my life? Personal. I don't want you to know. I don't want anybody to know. Christ knows. Why is it important for us to pray for one another's burdens? Because after reading this and talking about it and believing it today, because if I can have some victory in those areas, it's not because of me. It's because of him. So, Robert, Kevin, you folks here, what I really believe I need to do is share with you some of the glorious things God is doing in my life so you can help me celebrate the victories. So we can together increase our faith and our love and our service to God. I need you. You've heard me say that before. And then even this guy who can't push a button on a microwave, you need to. We need one another. You know, I'm going to leave here after having thought about this, or I wouldn't have said it if I hadn't thought about it, with little time to prepare. But to know and trust that this is what he wanted shared and me to learn. That I've got some challenges ahead of me. I do. I know now a little bit more than I knew before. You've heard the scripture, to him much is given, much is required. See, God shares wisdom. He wants us to apply it. Not just think and pray about it, although that's a wonderful thing. Apply it. O righteous Father, there's no other word he could probably think. O righteous Father, his glorious Father, his eternal Father. He says, the world has not known thee. Now, there are scriptures in Romans that talk about how the very nature, the existence of the planets and all these things think about the true reality of Jesus Christ. But knowing him and who he is and what he wants from us, the world doesn't understand. As a matter of fact, you know, if you think about what Per has been preaching the last few weeks, it's been a glorious, necessary reminder that we belong to him. Oh, yes, we do, and nothing we can do can separate us from him. Not as an excuse for sin, but a reminder of how much he loves us and is there to help us to be victorious. So why aren't we? You know, We prayed this morning by confessing our sins before we came to worship our Lord, recognizing that what do we bring to that table in His presence? Ourselves. We are acknowledging to Him the things that we do that do not bring Him glory, that do not help to make us one. We have to remember that those sins are already forgiven. The reason we confess them is so that we remind ourselves what we're doing that continues to be addressed and confessed. However small, however big. I'll tell you, it hit me with a lead hammer this morning, in the last 10, 15 minutes, that my love for God, my obedience, my desire to be obedient is one of the greatest ways to bring Him glory. One of the most important ways to build unity. To amplify in my heart my understanding and my deep appreciation for how much He loves me. I need that. I desperately need that. Folks, I hope I got hit by a lead hammer. I hope you have too. When that happens, it brings not just pain, but increased responsibility. Increased responsibility. It's not just something we hear and forget and move on. It can be. It will be. I guarantee you, it can be very easily. It's a lot harder to say, what is this about me? Where do I need to think more about, act upon, to bring You the most glory and to be unified with You, Father, through Jesus Christ, and to my believers, brothers and sisters in Christ? It's a hard charge. Believe me. Please join me in prayer. Our Father, thank You for Your word, Your glorious word, Your powerful word, Your living word that we so desperately need to live and face this world in ourselves. Father, I pray our combined prayer is that we ask You to remind us in the very near future, in the more distant future, what You desire from each and every one of us. Desire from us, that You alone can make possible. We commit each of these struggles, but also our increased thankfulness and appreciation for the amount of love You do have for us. Thank You for dying for us. Today we have these plants on the floor and on the table to remind us what You are going to face, which we will think about, reflect upon, and celebrate next Sunday. By next Sunday, Father, may we be rejoicing, truly rejoicing for all the things that Your death and resurrection brought, but also things that we can seek to be victorious about for the same reasons. We commit our lives to Thee, O Father, our weak minds and hearts. We give them to You, Father, and ask for Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.